This is Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. Denise Juneau is Seattle's new school superintendent. She's been on a listening tour. She is living proof that an English major can find productive work. I want to congratulate you on that. Also, it doesn't hurt to get a law degree and to have gone to Harvard for your degree in education. So I won't read the whole resume, but welcome. It's good to meet you. One of the first things I wanted to ask about was the Cleveland High School football field. I understand ground has been broken now.
Yep, I was there when the ground, we lined up and had football players with us and the principal, and we were able to put the shovel in the ground and dig a little dirt.
So it's full speed ahead from here on out, huh?
I hope so.
All right. Let's talk about racial equity, because that's one of the things that came up during your extensive listening tour.
Yep.
And it's something that we've been working on since at least, 1954.
Right.
So what will you do that's new?
Well, so through the listening and learning tour, something that drew me to Seattle actually for this job was during the interview process, people weren't afraid to talk about racial equity and at least say the words, and it doesn't happen like that all across the country. And so that was exciting. And then since I've been here, and the listening and learning tour just really strengthened, one thing that I think we really need to get serious. There's been a lot of work done at the district and across the city with families around trying to figure out what is it exactly. And when we look at data, we know exactly what it is. It's a huge opportunity gap between white students and students of color that we really need to dig in and get real about and figure out how we're going to better serve. You know, Seattle is actually a high-performing district in the country when you look at test scores and graduation rates, but we have the significant challenges of trying to close the gap between white students and students of color.
And pockets of schools where perhaps that growth or that opportunity hasn't quite reached those students. So high performing as a whole, but pockets of schools where the inequity is pretty obvious. And is that why Seattle Public Schools is going after two levies?
Well, that's in part of the issue. So the two levies, one of them is really about buildings. And so there are certain school buildings in the city that really need to be rebuilt. And so we have eight of those schools. And then the next part of that is looking at safety across the district, you know, making sure that there are the front doors have security systems, that we're looking at earthquake issues, and making sure that our structures that students learn in are good and safe places for them to be. And then the second one is the operations levy. And that really is to, like, for example, it's to fill gaps in where the state is currently not providing funding. And so, for example, the state gives the school funding for 9 nurses. We employ and need 63.
Oh.
And so the levy helps us fill that in. What the state also does not fully fund special education. And so about $60 million of the fund, of the levy that is up for renewal actually helps us backfill some of those services as well. And so it's critical needs across the district. But of course, we know that the resources sometimes need to be distributed equitably in areas that need it more.
But racial equity is about more than just resources, isn't it? It's about expectations. It's
correct.
Sometimes it's about something as simple as detention policy. So how do you go about addressing those issues?
So as I've been stepping into this role, I've looking at all kinds of different equity issues and things just as simple as field trips.
Field trips.
And so there are some schools that can raise a lot of money through PTAs,
right,
that allow students to have access to go places and take groups of students and do field trips. And then there are some schools that don't have those types of resources that don't get to go. And so we have examples of some schools that are able to take their bands and their orchestras on 8 to 12 trips a year, and some schools that get to go on one. And so even looking across the district, not even just academics, there are all these issues that we just need to continually raise the issue, mm-hmm, talk about them.
But what do you do about that? Because there are rich communities, there are poor communities.
Right.
That's what this is a part of.
Right.
I mean, I think if you do it the way Major League Baseball does it, the richer teams are taxed and the money sent to the poorer teams. I suppose you could do that. Wouldn't be very popular, but I mean, what would you do?
Right. I mean, that's the thing about if we're going to talk about racial equity and we're going to raise these issues and we're going to look at data and we're going to look at resources, we need to get real and start, we need to start living our values. And so actually working with the Seattle Council PTSA, and so they have new leadership as well, and they're working with their school-based PTAs to really start digging into these issues and try to figure out a path forward. It's not easy, and there are really hard conversations, but they are necessary if we're going to make sure that every student has access to quality education.
And as you're etching away with these umbrella projects, mm-hmm. like racial equity and bringing opportunity and something mm-hmm. as simple as field trips mm-hmm. to most schools, you still have the day-to-day issues that are cropping up. One of those, the school bus emergency, yes. which was supposed to be solved and wrapped up by October and yet continues. I think I had just read in the Seattle Times that Seattle Public Schools just renewed that emergency plan.
Yep.
So how are we getting kids to school consistently and on time?
Right. And as I've been traveling around the city, one of my issues, and I've been talking to community members, is like, I am apologizing for not delivering students. You know, for us as a district to say it's important for your student to be in school, and then for us to be failing on delivering students to school in a timely way, we need to change that. And what the biggest issue is the lack of bus drivers. They're part-time, low-paying jobs. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that I cannot solve a bus driver shortage. Our contractor doesn't seem to be able to solve a bus driver shortage. And so those routes get missed. We've had to add in another contractor now to help backfill some of that. But I want to bring together a think tank. I mean, Seattle, when I look at it, is full of not just money, but brain power and people who have thought through these big issues. And I want to bring together a group of people who can help me think through how we deliver students differently next year. Yellow school buses make sense where I come from in Montana, when you have to go long distances and pick up kids along the way. They don't make sense here in Seattle, in such a congested urban area where it's hard to get around. We can't find the drivers that are necessary to fill all the routes. And so we need to sort of figure out how to disrupt the system and do it differently within Seattle Public Schools. And so that's where I want to move, is sort of bring these people together. Let's think it through. Let's look at some urban planning, transportation routes, and how are we going to do it differently next year? Because it's one of my top priorities that I need to fix this year.
Do you anticipate this school bus shortage issue to continue throughout the entire school year?
Well, I don't see any near way to fix it, given it's a driver shortage. And it's not just Seattle. This is nationwide. I've talked to other urban school superintendents who are struggling with the same issues of driver shortage, congestion in cities, trying to get around. And so it is something that's really ripe for thinking about differently. And so I look forward to those conversations moving forward.
Let's talk about discipline. What did parents tell you about that on your listening tour? And did it vary depending on what neighborhood you were in?
It didn't really vary. I mean, I think, I'll tell you one exciting thing through the most recent collective bargaining agreement that we did with our union. It wasn't just about money, but it was also about increasing racial equity teams that are going on in school. So teachers coming together to learn to look at implicit bias, to think
about.
So
what explain the racial equity teams. What do they do?
So racial equity teams are teachers who come together and talk about their implicit bias, get training on how to better approach classrooms, how to be culturally competent in their mm-hmm. in their delivery service and their instruction. And one exciting thing in the collective bargaining agreement also was a new sort of professional development day, one per month, where they look at disproportionate data. And so it could be discipline, it could be academics. Where is their data in their school, the building, that they can really dig into and think about differently and find different approaches, bring in partners to help them address those issues? And so there are disproportionate data across the district in all types of areas, discipline being one of them. But it is an area now that teachers are coalescing around and trying to figure out how to.
Is that the key, though, bringing in teams? There's a model called sound discipline, where they've eliminated detention, and they do it by having daily class meetings mm-hmm. where kids will begin by saying one complimentary thing about another kid. They will discuss what the rules of the classroom should be. In other words, they figure out a way to get teachers and students to buy into this.
Yep.
But it's a pretty radical approach. I mean, some teachers have had to leave schools that adopt this because they're just not on board with it. They want mm-hmm. the old detention model. So have you tried any more extreme approaches like this to solve that problem?
I mean, there are all kinds of things going on across Seattle Public School District just to get at this specific issue. There is a social emotional learning sort of curriculum called RULER that's now in most elementaries, where students and parents and families and teachers are all learning to talk the same language about how do I feel today? And so sort of being able to identify students about where they might be, their attitude, their feelings on any given day, and then figure out different interventions to help them better learn in that day. There are some of our schools, and I was just at Robert Eaglestaff Middle School, that is really incorporating restorative justice sort of practices of bringing in students when there is conflict, and even beyond, not just conflict, but bringing students together, particularly when there is conflict, and having conversations rather than just jumping straight to discipline or detention or anything that's so punitive, of trying to work it out and bring the human component together with those students. And adults are practicing it. A lot of our schools now have what's called advisory periods, where there's a time set aside for teachers to really build relationship with a group of students in the during the daytime. And so, you know, from the work in education, and in my previous role, I had a student advisory board. I have a student advisory board that's now meeting this weekend as well, with high school students from across the district, because I really feel it's important to raise student voice and hear from, you know, them, who we are focusing on, what's important to them, and how are we going to be a better system. But from all of that work, three things always seem to emerge, is that students need relationships. They need a caring relationship with an adult. They need somebody who's in their corner to cheer them on, to challenge them, and to support them. They need relevance in their learning, which means that they need to see how it fits their needs today or is going to help them reach a future that they dream of. And then they also know that rules have to exist within a system, but they want those rules applied fairly. And they see the injustice in our systems. And those are sort of the conversations that I get to have when I have these student advisory boards about what's it look like out from your perspective. And then as adults, how are we going to help you feel better in your education system so you can succeed?
Something that's always top of mind for me, especially as a mother who just had a child enter public education, is safety. And I'm curious if students bring that up to you as well, how safe they are when they are at school and what upgrades can be made to Seattle Public Schools to ensure that safety.
Yeah, and that is one component of the levy that's coming up in February, is it's not just building new buildings, but it's making sure that our schools are secure and safe places.
What does that mean?
That means that the front door, there's going to be a buzz-in system so that the school personnel know who is coming in. Just like I walked in here and there's a intercom system. So similar types of things like that, making sure that earthquake safety measures are in place in the building so it doesn't crumble when an earthquake hits. And from students, what I've heard is a lot around identity safety and making sure that there are warm, welcoming environments for every student, no matter their background, their race, their culture. When they're coming into the school, they want to see that they belong. And so for me, there's two kinds of safety. There's physical safety and there's identity safety. And one of the things that came out of the Listen and Learn tour, particularly from students, was the issue of how we need to diversify our teacher corps as well. And so currently working with the teacher corps that we have right now, of helping them to become more culturally competent in the classroom and dealing with different types of students, but also getting an aggressive plan together, recruitment and retention plan for staff of color, because they want to see students or teachers who look like them standing in front of the classroom. And research shows when there are young students and they see a teacher who looks like them in the classroom, they're going to be more successful.
Are the teachers the intervention specialists? Because recently, formed by the legislature, the Mass Shooting Task Force had identified that we need more counselors, which have, you know, I thought that was a given, having grown up with a counselor as a constant for me. And apparently they've gone away, those counselors. So do you have enough funding, like you don't for nurses, for more counselors, more resource officers?
We need all of that. And that's why the levy is so crucial and critical to our needs. I mean, if that levy is not renewed, we will have to go down to very minimal types of services. And there is a need for more nurses, more counselors, Right now, our partnership with the city through their city levy actually allows us in schools to have family support workers, which actually help with some of those interventionists or interventions that need to happen. Students who are entering school with everyday trauma, helping them find resources, doing wraparound services with students. And so our partnership with the city and a lot of other partners that we have in our schools right now help with some of those issues. And so we want to make sure we're maintaining those strong partnerships, but that we're also getting this extra money coming in so we can beef up some of those efforts.
You have some political experience because you had to run for superintendent of public schools in Montana. So in a levy election like the one that's coming up, will you stand up and say, either vote for this, your schools won't be safe?
Well, so in this role now as superintendent, I used to be able to say that. But because I'm the superintendent of a district now, we have sort of campaign limits that we can do. So our district is allowed to educate. Mm-hmm. We can tell you what the levy's for. We can talk about what it is going to do for the district. But there is a group out there called Schools First, which is sort of the people who are going, the group that's going to go out and help campaign so that people vote yes for the levy.
I'm curious. Why would you want a job like this?
Well,
given that the,
right.
the typical school superintendent always seems to leave under a cloud of some kind.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's always hope in public education. I'm in public education. You know, I have a long history of involvement in public education. My family's been in public education. I grew up on the Blackfeet Indian Reservation. And so I've seen what public education can do for individuals, for communities. And it's powerful. And so anytime I can step into a leadership role and help provide the values of public education, the importance of it, and do what I can to make sure that we are closing those opportunity gaps, do what I can to make sure that every student is provided a quality education, doing what I can so that families feel involved, doing what I can so that students graduate and are have the skills to be able to step into the next phase of their life. I want to be a part of that. It's why I ran for state superintendent in Montana. And what excited me about this job, again, I think, is because Seattle was talking about the right issues. They were talking about the right values. And because of the power of money in this city, brain power, personality, if we can harness that and make sure we're focusing on the right issues, we are going to be a world-class education system.
Money. When you were in Montana, you created partnerships with businesses, mm-hmm. right? Do you, are you willing to issue a challenge to businesses and the rich people in this area, of which there are quite a few, as you point out? And what do you think is their responsibility? And are they living up to it now?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things I did in my previous role was we had I had an initiative called Graduation Matters. When I first stepped into office, way too many students were dropping out of school. And so we created a collective impact model. And we brought everybody to the table. We brought school systems, nonprofits, businesses, so that everybody could see the role that they play in public education. Listen, public education is about the public. That's what we exist for, is to make sure that our public young people are going to be successful in the community that they're in. And so that is where the role comes up. You know, we have over 300 partners in Seattle Public Schools who are trying to be in schools helping students be successful. Some of those are business partners. We have a lot of philanthropy groups who are providing funding in specific areas to make sure students are successful. We want to make sure that we're continuing those kinds of partnerships because everybody has a role to play in public education. So yeah, the challenge is help us define what a successful student needs to look like. Tell us what the bar is. We can meet that, but we're going to need your support to get there.
Who's your dream philanthropist to step up and say, here's some money?
I wish I knew. If anybody with money is my dream philanthropist.
Somebody to choose from here.
Who's coming in to help us do the right things by Seattle Public School students and families. That's who I want to partner with.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, you were talking about the disparity between what PTSAs can raise from district to district. You could have a program where if a PTSA in a rich district raises a lot of money, a philanthropist jumps in and matches that for a poor district somewhere.
Yep, and there are conversations like that happening. I mean, one of our primary partners is the Alliance for Education. You know, it was a rocky road, I think, between the Alliance and the district for a while, but there are two new leaders, myself and Lisa Chick over in the Alliance for Education, who are sort of rebuilding that. They are the foundation arm for public education in the city. And so there are those types of conversations that are going on about where can philanthropy and where can business step in to help even the playing field across the city.
Denise Juneau is the Seattle School District Superintendent, and you'll be hearing a lot more from her as that levy comes closer.
Yes, that's for sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.